Well, good morning, church, and just it's a wonderful privilege to stand before you again and to be back. I'm reluctant. Well, it's not. I'm not reluctant. I refuse to call it home. It's good to be back here with you guys, but this is not my home. This is not Manny's home. Our eternal home is with God in the heavens, and we're only passing through. And God's imposed it upon me that to return back to Australia as a missionary, because if I don't and I become familiar again with the things and allow the world to draw me back, that I'll slip back into the ways of the world from which God's called us all. So we come back as missionaries back to Australia. I'd just love to take this opportunity to thank the pastor and the elders for you've been given a great responsibility to watch over our souls, and it was a great act of faith from Pastor Bruce, who I was thrust upon, and he didn't know me and I really didn't know him, but it was a great act of faith, Pastor, to release someone under your authority and your care to a foreign country. And Manny and I both applaud that, and we thank you for your courage and for your faith in God to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in that regard. And thank you to the elders too. Also like to thank the church for your prayers, and I'll touch a little bit later on that as to what how important they were, and prayer is so important. Yeah. So today, I'd just like to read a scripture that God has given me. And God's been speaking to me about a word all week. And that word is in Matthew. And I think it's very fitting that one of the last things that God said to the church, I hope it's in Matthew. Here it is. Yep. So it's in Matthew 28, verses 18. And Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore," and I'm not sure if it's Kevin Connor or Derek Prince or one of those guys have said, if it's therefore, what is it therefore? And it's therefore because God has been given all authority on heaven and earth. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Holy, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So church, really, if we look at what God's last or Jesus' last words, we're to go and make disciples. And when I look around this morning, church, we're in need of disciples in this place. So that was the heart of it. And I've been working at home all week, and this was what God said to me. Well, for the last 2 weeks, really, knowing that I was going to get up and talk today, this was what God has been putting on my heart over and over and over again. It's not about you. It's not about you. And the devil, we have an adversary who wants to make it all about us. And whilst our eyes are on us, we're missing what the Lord is doing. And I love the passage in the scriptures where it says that John the Baptist was in jail, and he sent his disciples to go to Jesus. Are you the Messiah? Now, John knew they were the Messiah. He was the Messiah. He baptized him. But Jesus said to the disciples, go back and tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. And the Apostle Paul, when he returned from his missionary tours, and this is why it's so easy for me to stand here today, because I'd normally be a nervous wreck. But the Apostle Paul, he went throughout the churches and he preached on what he saw and what he heard and what the Lord was doing. So it was never about Paul. It was always about what Christ, and to take the gospel of Christ to a dying world. This is our mission statement written on the wall. One day, when I went to Pastor David and said, "Look, I know God's calling me away." And I went into the office and I spoke with David and I said, "David, what's our mission statement?" And I could see in my spirit David standing there looking at the mission statement. And so we walked down over to where it's above the kitchen there. And David was exactly in the pose that I'd seen him in the vision in prayer that morning. It's not about me. It's not about you. Our mission statement is to win people to Christ, to establish them in Christ, to make them useful for Christ, and to release them to go as Christ. What I feel this morning is to not share the miracles that happened in Thailand, the provision of God in Thailand, because it was much more than the problems that Manny and I faced. And if you ask Manny what the last 4 years represent to us, she can sum it up, not what we thought. And we had no idea what God was calling us to. All we knew was that he called us. And so we left here, and it's so interesting that God, this morning, the message is not about you, because that was the first lesson I learned when I left this building. And we had a lovely sister here, the Filipino lady. Yep. And David had known all year I was going, because I went and said to David, "Listen, I want to be released to go, but I need to go in the right way. So I'm not just going to run off." And he was devastated by that. And for the whole year, although it crept through the church that I was leaving, nothing was ever said. And the day of the departure came to go, and it's no one's fault here. It's God's planned it this way, so I'm not down on anyone or anything like that. But we came to the end of the service on the 22nd or the 19th, I think it was, and I left town on the 22nd. And it was just coming up to Christmas. And David gave the announcements. Not that I was looking for recognition, because I wasn't. But nothing was said. Our dear sister here was going back home to the Philippines, I think, was it? Yep. And we blessed her and prayed for her. Nothing was said. And I got up and I walked out through those doors. Not one goodbye. Nothing. And I thought, wow. No recognition whatsoever of the hours pouring my heart out for this church, because this church is very precious to me. I got in my car. Nothing, God. Not even a see you later. And I got in my car and I reached the roundabout. And this is why it's so poignant this morning, that the first thing I share is the first thing that happened to me when I went. I got to the roundabout and I purposed in my heart, well, God, it's not about me anyway. It's about you. And so this morning I want to talk, and I'll try and watch the time and I'll move it on and try and not go down the rabbit holes that I'm not supposed to go down. When I got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, I couldn't believe that whilst I was yet a sinner, Christ had watched all my moves and had died on a cross for me. And when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, For the first time in my life, I knew I was forgiven. I knew the relationship with God was restored through what Christ had done. I felt like a brand new baby, without blemish, loved and accepted by God. And now God's talking to me. The God of heaven and earth is talking to me. And I thought to myself, the world, unless they receive Christ, is going to hell. That's the reality of it. What are we doing with this gospel? Because we're called to go and make disciples. Not just the evangelist. Every one of us is called to, and we'll stand before God and we'll give an account for every breath we've taken, every word we've spoken, every step. We're going to give an account for that. And this, the ones that don't accept Christ, they're going to fall, they're going to stand before God on the day of judgment, which we're all going to do, and the ones that believed, they're going to paradise. Well, that's great. How precious is that? But the crux of the matter is, do we have the love for this world that was the reason that Jesus sent his son? Do we have that love? Because we should. If Christ is innocent, he hasn't changed. They're going to a bottomless pit where the cankered worm will never cease, which the torment will be day and night. Never for a period until someone justifies that their sins it's forever. And if they're not in church this morning, they're on that broad path that leads to hell. And we've been given and entrusted with the gospel that there's a Christ out there that died for them, and there's no need for them to go to that place. And so when I got saved, I thought, what an incredible message. What an incredible purpose in life. And what an incredible God to entrust us with that message that requires every breath we take, every step we take. Because Jesus said, if you don't love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your body, we're called to pick up our cross and die daily to ourselves, our wants, our needs. They're all met in Christ. But when we make them the top of our agenda, we've missed the calling of God. And so I thought about that, and I had a vision as a young baby Christian that, armed with that knowledge, which every one of us has been armed with, if there was one person, if there was one person on the face of this earth that you could get that message to, if it meant going down a 1,000-mile track on a push bike and sometimes having to get off because the track's so hard and walk, wouldn't you not spend every ounce of energy to get that gospel of life to a dying person? And so anyway, life went on, and most of this church knows my history that wasn't faithful, and I went on a missionary tour and ran away and never come back because I was trying to do it in my own strength. But it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by his spirit. And I shipwrecked my faith. And I'd gone back into the world, and the world had buried me deep, and my faith was just a spark. That was all that was left, was the tiniest flint of a spark. And I sensed that God was going to give me a second chance. And so I got up and laid a hold of God for what he'd laid a hold of me. And prayer became a non-negotiable thing. And I prayed, And for 3 months, I sat there, nothing. And I said, God, I'm going to lay a hold of you for that which you have laid a hold of me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. Are we doing that? Because that's what we're called to do. So time came to be released, and we'd gone to a first 2 years at a caravan park. And I'll leave that for another time, because that's got its own stories. But we set off to Thailand and was blessed. And I remember crying here that the Lamb of God would receive the reward of his sufferings. And that reward is every lost soul out there that doesn't know him. Well, we got to Thailand on the 2nd of January 2019. Well, this will be interesting. I had a factory, and 2 days after I got there, I got a notice that the tenant in the factory was giving notice to vacate. And I thought, wow, why couldn't that have come 4 days ago when I was in Australia and could do something about it? The Prime Minister stood on the television, and when I left, COVID was really only a disease in China, in a province. It wasn't anything. By now, it had grown to they were carrying body bags out of New York into refrigerated trucks because they couldn't keep up with them. And I'm watching this on television and I'm going, this is interesting. God, if you've called me, then you knew this was going to happen. COVID hit Thailand. We lost all the work for the buses in one night. Virtually never to work again for the rest of the year. So there was no income in our family whatsoever. I had a great thing on my eye that was growing, and I could now see it out of the corner of my eye. So I've got this thing growing. We'd started a veggie garden, and I'm thinking, well, I can perhaps try and make some money that way. And Mum, the Midianite, because the Midianites would come down into the Israelite camp and steal the crops. Mum would go around town. Mum would get up all of a sudden. No one helped me build this veggie garden. Manny and I toiled away. And the rest of the family would sit there in their hammocks watching me while I wheelbarrowed truck after truck of dirt. No one would help. All of a sudden, Mum's getting up early and she's going out in the morning and raiding the crops and going around town selling the produce. And I'm not seeing any of it. So the money's out of my control. It's in hers. And once Mum gets a hold of the money, you're not going to see it again. We'd built chooks. We had probably 100 chooks. The border had shut, so we couldn't get chooks to market. So that and the uncle was falling in love with them and refused to kill any. So that went by the wayside. The tenant in my house had lost all her work, or reduced hours, I should say, and's now asking for a rent reduction. I'd thrown my job in to be there. A couple of kids in the house are dealing drugs, and we're being raided by the police. And that was one of my greatest fears in life. Barlow and Chambers, they were shot and executed in Malaysia for drug dealing, and my greatest fear was to be caught in an Asian country with drugs, and we're being raided by the police, and the two kids are dealing drugs in the house. my house, I laying my money on the table and saying, all right, we'll all have to eat out of this. And a kid had just returned from prison, and I'd find him in the kitchen just helping himself to the food with no one else home. The enemy didn't want us there. And then the greatest blow came when Manny and I had a fight and she wanted a divorce. And I thought, God, I'm not quitting. I've quit once before. I'm not quitting. I'm not a quitter. But this time, I wasn't trying to do it in my strength. I'd learnt the value of prayer and being in the Word. And the Holy Spirit doesn't quit. And if she throws me out on the pavement, I'm going to sit there for 2 years that you've called me to be in Thailand, but I'm not quitting. And Pastor Bruce, I'm listening to his sermons and I'm thinking this couldn't get any worse if we tried. It seems like all the world's coming against us. And Paul talks about the comfort of God. And he said that what we go through, yes, God comforts us, but so that we can comfort others. And yes, I was overwhelmed, Paul says. I was overwhelmed, but you prayed. And God answered that prayer. And I'm contemplating life on the footpath. And I went down for a coffee one morning. And God said this to me. I have not brought you here to fail. The same as what he said to Gideon. For I have given you the victory, he says to Gideon. To each and every one of us. Don't look at your circumstances because they'll make it about you. But look to the living God and keep to the vision and keep to the script. Go and make disciples. Because that's all we're here for. We'll be eternity getting to know God. We'll be an eternity getting to know one another. But how many people are slipping off to hell whilst we're focusing on ourselves? I'm listening to Pastor Bruce's sermons. And for that year, 1/10 of the sermons, 10 sermons, was about sowing. And God saying, sow. But God, it's not a great time to sow here. Sow. Right. So I purposed in my heart that if I saw a need, I'm going to sow. And we started building a house, and I'd been impressed upon by God to tape. Had lost all the work for his bus. His bus had blown up. COVID's hit. He's got no money to feed his family. And I felt impressed upon him to go and give him a Bible. And a couple of years earlier, Tape come and asked me about what I was reading. I told him I'm Christian, and he said, "Oh well, I'm a Buddhist." And I heard the words, Pastor. So I gave Tape a Bible, and Tape lived next to his brother, and his brother had been dislodged because Manny and I had gone to live in the house, and he felt uncomfortable living his lifestyle in Manny's house that her mother lives in. And he was living on a cane bed out in the open. And he'd lie out there because he thought he was going to be involved in a gunfight with some of the drug dealers. And if they come and get me, they come and get me. He was going to have his shootout out there. And God said, build him a house. Take what you've got and give. Sow. Yeah, but God, it's not a good time to sow. I'm here for 2 years and this has got to last the distance. And God said, sow. So I built this guy a house, and got in. You know, I had the scriptures. That's another story. I don't want to go down that story, down that road. So every morning I'd get up and go and build this guy a house, and every morning he'd hear me get up to go and work on his house for the materials that I'd bought and laboured to lay bricks off and scaffolding to build this guy's house under a hot roof, sweating, and he'd get up and smirk at me every morning. And off he'd go to my house or Manny's house, where he'd lay on my couch and watch my television and eat my food. And when I came home at the end of the day through slaving on his house, he'd get up and go back to that which I was building and what I was paying for, and never lifted a finger. And the more I gave, the more that seemed to be demanded of me. And I downed tools. I said, God, this is not fair. And I was whippersnipping the veggie patch one day, and I said to God, that's not fair. In anybody's book, that's not fair. How can you ask me to build this guy a house when he lifts not a finger? And all I could hear, Pastor Bruce, so? Yeah, but it's not fair, God. And God give me the definition of his fair. He's fair. It's not fair. He gave me the definition of unfair. Unfair is an innocent man hanging on a cross. That's unfair. And I said to God, I'm going back. He said, that guy never asked you to build him a house. I did. What's God asking you to do? He's asking you to lay down his life, because you can't teach anyone to be a disciple unless you're one yourself. What's a disciple? Jesus says, unless you pick up your cross, your wants, your ways, your desires, your passions, your ideas. Pastor Bruce, lean not on your own understanding. You know, there's a man, there's two brothers, and God, the father asked one to go and work in the vineyard. And one said, I'll go, and he didn't. One said, I wouldn't go, and later changed his mind, and he did. Who was justified? One who said he wouldn't go and did go. And the whole time I'm building this house, the guy I'd given the Bible to is watching. And he's thinking, well, how come my brother's getting a house and I only got a book? The next year comes around after I'd finished the house, and there's many miracles to go. See, Jesus is alive, and I've walked with him. And he hasn't changed. Not one bit. He's still the healer. He's still the provider. And I love I don't know if it's a scripture or not, but I know there's a saying in Christianity. It's not until Jesus is all you've got that you truly realize Jesus is all you need. If you got Jesus, you got the lot. You got every provision to get the task done. Jesus said, all right, you've built the house this year. Next year I'm going to build my church. So this year, last year came around. And it was like deja vu. See, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all happened before. The second wave of COVID hit. Buses lost all their work. They'd regained a few jobs. And now TAPE can't make his payments. He stands to lose everything. He's had the letter. But I perceived by the Holy Ghost what God was doing. He's a guy hanging on the end of the rope. And I said to Tate, well, you've tried your way and it's not worked. And you owe money all around town. You've borrowed till no one will lend you any more. Now you stand to lose everything. And you will literally end up with nothing. There's no work. There's no money to be made. You've got two kids and a wife. You've got no work for your bus. And you've got a letter from the bank. Demanding that you show cause as to why they shouldn't take the bus. I said, listen, you got a book. You got a book. You got the Bible. You got God's word. If you will trust God, if you will serve God, you'll never borrow money again in your life. But it's your decision, Tate. I said, come to church. So Tate started coming to church. And he was serious. God was speaking to Tate. Next thing, Tate decided to give his heart to the Lord. And Pastor Perm led him through the sinner's prayer. We've got to get him baptized. Because they won't let you have communion over there unless you're baptized. They do things way different to how we do it. And I'm like Philip, the evangelist with the eunuch. There's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And Pastor Plum said, well, I haven't got a baptismal tank. Yeah, I know that, but I got a blow-up swimming pool. So we took it to church, blew it up, Tate rolled up in white. I mean, you guys have seen the video. You know what I got? When it wasn't about me, I got the one at the end of the 1,000-mile track. And for the next 6 months, I could have come home 6 months ago. But there's more responsibility than winning them to Christ. Paul said, I laboured in prayer till Christ be formed in them. And for 8 months last year, I got to ride my motorbike to church with tape on the back, praising God. I got the one. I got the one. Because God said, if you haven't got the heart for the one, you won't have the heart for the thousands. That man, if he endures to the end, he will live longer in paradise with Christ in eternity than every life that was ever lived on the face of this earth put end to end. Tate will live longer in eternity. I don't care what I've given up. And what it's cost in the sowing. One life. The value that God would place on one life. One life. Your life. Your life. If salvation was so easy, then why isn't there more of us in here today? Because it's not the easiest thing. You're chosen. You are a chosen. Do not neglect this great salvation that has been given unto you. But I say, spend every breath and waking hour pursuing God and His will and what He would have you do. I said, you wouldn't have, if you haven't got the heart for the one, how much of Jesus' ministry was for the one? There's scores of accounts in here where He went and left what He was doing for the one. There's ones everywhere. Jesus said, open your eyes for the harvest is ripe. go and live two years in the caravan park and see what hell they're living in. I went from a private 3-acre block on the side of Mount Dandenong for 20 years. I'd lived there. I left there, and 4 hours later, I was living in a caravan park with 300 people on 5 acres, and the hell and the torment and that they're living in. Go and live amongst them and see what they're living in. And I thought, my God, what a sheltered life I've lived. So we come back here for a season as a missionaries. It's not our home. And we're going to go back to Thailand when God, in God's time, God's purpose, God's way. And we're believing for a great harvest. But I believe with all my heart that the very reason that we exist is to make disciples whilst we're here on earth. So I pray this year that's coming, I pray that we will seek God with all of our hearts and say, God, whilst, what would thou have me do? Because that's what Paul prayed. And be obedient. Spend time in prayer. People say, well, gee, God talks to you a lot. Yeah, but I pray a lot. It's a presumptuous man that starts his day that God has given him without prayer. And I really pray that the purposes of heaven would fall on this church. Look, I know that we're going to take people to Thailand. And they're probably not people that are sitting in this room right now. We've got some older people. Praise God for the older people. And you might not be able to go to Thailand. But there's not one person in this room that can't go to prayer for those that are to come. And when they come, because Josie's word the other week, I see them coming, the drug addict. I mean, God didn't bring that back up to you just to hear your voice. They are coming. But if we got the heart to lay down our lives for them, because that's really what I spent the last 6 months in Thailand doing, was staying there and praying that Christ be formed in tape, that whilst I was gone, he'd be strong enough to endure what lay ahead for him. And I know for a fact that this world is out to lure tape back to the world from which he's walked. And the struggles that I've faced, I know they're in front of tape. I think they're 1% a Christian nation. They're Buddhists. They are experiencing exactly what we're experiencing under another guise. But it's the same enemy at work. I'm not asking you to do what I did. I'm praying that you'll do what God's asking you to do, that you'll seek him with all of your heart and say, what wilt thou have me do, Lord, like Paul? And so this year I really pray that God would place eternity in your hearts that would move you far beyond yourself. See, Jesus said, if you believe, you shall lay your hands upon the sick and these signs shall follow. It's not what I've experienced is not just for me. It's for every single believer that you have the power of Christ living in you, the Holy Spirit. There's no favorites in any of this. So I'll stop there. But I got my one. And God has never I can't, in all what we walked through, there's not a promise that he... And it's not about me, and it's not about you. I stood here today with the perfect peace that passes all understanding. And I had the guideline of what he was going to talk. There's no notes here. There's only the word of God. It's all you need. And all week I'm going, God, shouldn't I be at the table trying to write something down? And all week he's been saying, do you trust me? Yeah, I do. I do. So could we bow our heads in prayer? I'd like to finish there. Before Pastor needs to ring his bell. God bless you, Pastor. You've been such an encouragement to me, and God has really used this man. God's been speaking so clearly to us. In fact, I would have thought that, did I leave my phone on? How could Pastor know what he knows? Because God was really only confirming through Pastor what he was already speaking to me. And I pray that the Word of God says that unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will produce nothing. Nothing. And God's going to call us to account for that which he's already placed within us. The talents he's already given us, each one of us is going to have to stand and give an account. And with every fibre of my being, I long for one thing: to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. So Lord, I pray this year, Lord, today must mark a changing of the page in the life of this church. Lord, I see what my brothers and sisters have gone through, and I can't imagine what they've gone through. And I can only tell them what I've endured. But you know, even in the dark times, it says sorrow may be for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I pray for us as a church, Lord, that we would constantly be listening. We would constantly have our eye fixed on thee, to hear what you're saying and to see what you're doing. And that, God, the reports would come back, would be people coming back amazed at what they've done. Lord, we should be lining up as Christians every week to give a testimony of the miraculous, of the healing, of the deliverance. Lord, and more than that, Lord, making disciples who make disciples. Lord, I pray, this year, Lord, make us, as we lay down our life and allow your life to flow through us, make us disciple makers, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.